This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Dirty and the Blonde Tip Bomber. And Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, and we'll hear from Moneybags in just a bit. Have the latest for you. And the latest is one. 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. Remember that. And two, a lot to get to here. Including some big Texans news. But before that, let's get to the Rockets, man. They've got a big, big game tonight as they are in the knockout round, the quarterfinals of the NBA Cup, and they will host tonight, 8:30, host the Golden State Warriors. That's Steph Curry, Draymond Green. The winner then moves on to Vegas to face the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Let's go, Rockets.
I feel like this is maybe the biggest game for the Rockets since the bubble, September 2020, when they lost to the Lakers in Game 5 of the Western Conference semis. Maybe they had some games late last year where they had a chance to maybe get in that 10 spot, but this is going to be a game where it's a standalone game. It'll be the only NBA game on. And then they'll have a chance to kind of get on that that stage, the biggest stage I guess you can get in the regular season in that NBA Cup. I'm excited for this game tonight. I'm excited to see how they take this and how they approach this game. Will this be a game where the intensity is higher? I wonder if that's the thing for Golden State with Steph and Draymond and that crew, but this is a big game for the Rockets tonight.
It's a big game, Ron, and I'm going to tell you one thing that really, other than you talking about it, and I trust your NBA knowledge and beliefs and understandings, and listening to you go at it about these Rockets, man, really got me dialed in. And then I'm sitting there watching one night, and it was Dylan Brooks. I can't remember who they had played, but Dylan Brooks, it was one night when everybody was rocking and rolling. Şengün was lit up, lighting it up. I think they ended up winning in overtime, maybe. No, they came back and had a big comeback late. Anyway, Dylan Brooks said after the game, he was asked about this tournament and the significance of it. And he flat out said, yeah, it's important to us. Absolutely. We want to win it. I mean, like, and again, I know some lifers, some NBA heads, maybe even yourself, Ron. I don't know. I don't know exactly how you feel about it. And I don't really know the ins and outs of the tournament and what all it means, other than they make a little bit of money and it's in season, draw a little attention to the NBA, a longer NBA season. But when something's on the line and you've got a team, maybe it's because they're a bunch of up-and-comers. Cool, it's fine, whatever. But you've got a team that, just for the sake of competing, give me something, whether it's $1 million or a trophy or a title or whatever, give me something out there that I can compete for, and damn it, I'm going to compete. I'm not going to just, it's no big deal, we make plenty of money, it's a long season, all that matters is the NBA championship. Give me a bunch of young dudes that you wave that bloody bone in front of them and they start salivating. They want to compete, baby. Give me that, and I can sit my ass down and watch them play every damn night. So I'm excited about it. And to answer your question, if Dylan Brooks has the pulse of the team, which I do believe he does, it sure seems like this means something, and they're playing for to win it all.
When I watched it last year, now some people may have disagreements, especially when you got to this point of it. It did feel like a different intensity than just, you know, your regular November, December game.
Yeah.
It felt like different to me. The Pacers, who I've kind of compared the Rockets to, they took it very serious. And the Bucks and the Pacers last year, they took it very serious. The Lakers, Pelicans, they took it very serious. And I think it really did help the Pacers. It kind of put them on the map. It felt like the NBA kind of national world got to see him, got to learn. Haliburton became, I think, a more known player, especially after that. And for me, I think people thought it was going to be a kind of a joke, and I think the players took it more serious. At least the bulk of them took it more serious than others. So I'm intrigued, because this does feel like a bigger thing, and I think Draymond and Curry and company, I think they will potentially turn up and make you and make the Rockets maybe have to kind of face that level of intensity. I don't think they're going to turn up playoff level, but I think it will be more than regular season. And I like this kind of winner go home scenario that the Rockets are in, to see how far they can make this thing roll. So that'll be tonight, 8:30. Should be a fun atmosphere and a little different intensity than your normal regular season game.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Texans, they've got some injury situations, and I think the biggest one to come out here recently, Jordan Schultz reports this, that Texans standout safety Jalen Petrie suffered a torn pec and is done for the 2024 season. Huge loss for the Texans defense. And it is playing borderline at a Pro Bowl level to some. And now this is going to test the depth at those positions that he kind of played and filled in for. And they were really finding their groove on how to use him, Clint. And I look at this with Jalen Petrie, to you, where is the space that you think he has missed the most?
I think overall it's his instincts. Whether a team's running the football well and he's playing the run, or you got a team that's throwing it well and they want to pressure, which has been a big part of what the Texans defense has done this year, the pressure rates through the roof. I just think his instincts in those situations are absolutely tremendous. I think in zone coverages, his instincts are absolutely tremendous. So I would say overall, you're going to miss a player with that caliber instincts in general. And then when you look at, like, exactly, not just playing football, but what this team does schematically and what they believe in, or at least what they believe they have to do this year to be successful, whether you're run blitzing or trying to pressure the quarterback and dialing up blitzes, he is very, very good at finding the football, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's actually getting tackles for losses, or it's blocking screens when they're trying to throw the quick game and the screen game. I think you're just going to miss that player. Anytime, any position, and really any caliber athlete, when they have this level of instincts, man, it's you miss it, and you miss it big time, because you just can't. There's no skill. There's no other ability that I think plays as well as instincts do, particularly in the style that the Texans want to play. So I would say, however you want to shape missing Jalen Petrie, it's going to be because he's just got a nose for it, man.
Yeah, the depth to me is really where it's tested. Clint, for me, that's the concern. Is you got Jimmy Ward coming in, and where do they go there at that role? And Brandon was kind of talking about, do they have to, like, is this something fundamentally where they're going to have to change things that they do defensively? I don't think so with Jimmy Ward With Jimmy Ward right now, but the depth is tested, and Jimmy Ward's been somebody who's been in and out of the
lineup. Well, look, I think the reality of it is it's about, and you hear this coaching staff talk about it all the time. I do believe that D'Amico Ryans does a great job more times than not in defensively in having his players play to their strengths, and very rarely does he put these guys in position where they got to play to their weakness. There's no way to avoid it at the safety position and the nickel position. If you're going to pressure, you're going to have to play some man. You're going to have to ask these guys to cover man and play man-to-man defense, and that's their weakness, right? But how much can you do, from a disguise perspective, from a matchup perspective, from a personnel perspective, how much can you keep Eric Murray, what was Jalen Petrie, obviously Jimmy Ward, like, how can you keep those guys out of having to play a lot of man coverage versus the other team's best receivers? You got a couple of them this week that are coming at you, so good luck keeping it from happening at all, but you got to minimize it. The truth of the matter is, Ron, I don't think the challenge for D'Amico Ryans is any different.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because none of these guys can cover. Like, I shouldn't say that. I don't mean that as disrespectful as it sounds, but, like, you don't want any of these guys to be pressed at the line of scrimmage versus Davante Adams, right? So you want to avoid that at all costs, any way you slice it, whether it's Petrie, Ward, or Eric Murray. And so I don't think the challenge is any different. I just think the player is a little bit different. I think obviously you've got the best one in Jalen Petrie, and then Jimmy Ward, I think, with the veteran experience, I think can play as good a brand of nickel as Jalen Petrie plays. We'll see how it unfolds.
Also, side notes with this other injury stuff there with the Texans. If you're just joining us, Juice Scruggs, he is going to be out with a foot injury and is likely to miss a few weeks, reported by Aaron Wilson. Kenyon Green is back, so he's back in the mix with Zach Thomas, who they signed in November, and also in the mix with Kendrick Green. So they're going to be without Juice Scruggs as well. Christian Harris returned to practice. Foley Fatakasi returned to practice. Jimmy Ward returned to practice. So those are things there on the injury front for the Texans. By the way, Juice Scruggs and Petrie are the only ones who did not practice. Foley, Kenyon Green, Christian Harris, Nico Collins, Autry, and Laremy Tunsil were all limited. So that is the clear injury report right now for the Texans as they go into Thursday.
5 o'clock fire.
A lot happened in the sports world. And the latest here with Bill Belichick, there had been rumblings of this. Then there was thoughts that it was getting closer. And now it's official. Bill Belichick has agreed to become the next head coach at the University of North Carolina. Jordan Schultz is who we saw had that first. There is a new era in college football. And, fellas, maybe I'm just looking at this and my approach is all wrong, because I do feel bad. But I look at this, fellas, and I just, like, I almost feel bad for Bill. Like, I feel like this feels like a desperate man who is so desperate to coach that he is willing to take, I think, roles that he is way overqualified for and beneath him at 73 years old. And it just, to me, I don't know why, it just feels sad to me. It just feels sad to watch Bill Belichick who arguably is the greatest coach of all time, is now going to finish it off potentially at North Carolina. I know you've kind of.
You ain't usually the ones with feelings. You ain't the one that typically has feelings, especially for old heads.
It's just
the hell's
like,
wrong
man,
with you?
Like,
what is this? Like, is this smell in the attic up here getting to you?
I don't know what it is. To me, it's just like I told you, I feel that way with Greg Popovich. I feel that way with others. Like, dude, man, you just want to, you can't do nothing else so bad.
The deal is, I think he could coach at the NFL level if he wanted to. I just don't think anybody was willing to meet him, probably even in the middle of his demands.
Do you think somebody would have hired him?
Oh, I think somebody would have eventually hired him, yes. I think it would have been bad enough. Because he's the safest hire for any NFL team, right? You look at the Jets and their ownership. I mean, that is a team that you have to get. You literally have to either, one, get the next one right, or hire a guy that nobody will bitch and moan about if he doesn't work out. You hire, if the Jags, the Jets, the Bears, any of those teams, if they hire Bill Belichick, in 2 years it doesn't work, nobody's going to say, well, that owner's a dumbass. What the hell's that owner doing? You hired the best coach that the game's ever seen. What are you talking about? It's the safest hire. So I think somebody would have hired him. I just don't know that anybody was willing to meet all of the requirements that Bill wanted to throw on the table. And I think that probably soured a lot of folks on Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I think I saw 3 years, $30 million, $10 million a year.
I was going to say what the numbers is. Money obviously is. And what'd you say, Tyler, the NIL money went from $4 million to $20
million? Yeah, part of the deal to get him to take the job and come and start this journey with North Carolina was that UNC agreed to up that NIL money, that budget from $4 million all the way up to $20 million.
Well, that puts North Carolina in line with the Texases and the Texas A&Ms the Ohio States. And
I bet T.J. Yates is pissed.
Round the horn real quick. You can text in also on this 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch. How long is Bill Belichick the head coach of North Carolina? 1 year.
Oh, no. I
got 1 year.
You got 1 year?
Actually. I'm wondering if it's for the same reason as you, and we can talk about it later, but I might be with that.
No. I'll give you three.
He'll be back then.
You'll give him 3 years, 76.
So you don't think it works here, obviously.
I think they'll be better than they were. I think it will be a deal of, for him, what am I doing? Why I do not want to deal with all of this.
And I think an NFL organization will roll the dice after.
And I do think he'll try to do what he can to make himself look more viable to an NFL group. And I think the university will look at it and they're going to lose. I think they're going to lose a lot of kids after they get around Bill.
Not if he just got a 500% bump in NIL.
Yeah, but if he's
got $20 million NIL, Ron, he's got as much as anybody in the country in North Carolina.
But then those people have a choice to go there and not deal with him. Because I think he's going to be hard on players. I thought you were right the other day when you said he'll be something to sell to the parents.
Yes.
The agents will love it. They get in there with his ass.
Your kids, yeah. We'll see. Hopefully he's got enough common sense to know that he's got to give a little bit. He's got to treat 18-year-olds different than he was treating 22 to 30s. Surely. But who knows? I mean, look, I'm on record. I believe without Brady, I don't think he wins a championship. So I'm just that's where I'm at. But I'm anxious to see it happen, see how it unfolds.
I just feel like this is way beneath him. All right, Miami, this game coming up. Is this maybe the number one issue that the Texans have to be concerned with in the game coming up on Sunday? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Can I just say one more thing real quick on the Belichick thing?
Of course you can.
Yeah, is this about to be a deal now where it's no longer, hey man, let me find a guy, let me get a coach that I feel like is going to be here and could really build a program now. Let me hunt down that guy, or is it? Are we rolling into where this is really becoming
that like big name,
professional thing, or just like, hey man, we're looking, we're not even looking at a graduation class anymore.
We're not
even looking at 4 years, because that's why I said, like, how long is he going to be there? You said at least 3 years. I'm like, I wonder, is he going to make it to a 4 year graduation class? Because that would put him at 77 years old. Is he like that? Is that what we're looking at now? No longer. Like, if Sam don't make it at Arkansas, is it like, no, let's not go find a young gun. Let's just go find, hell, whoever. I mean,
look, if you're just tuning in, Bill Belichick and North Carolina have reached a deal. He's going to be the head coach at North Carolina, University of North Carolina. Here's the deal. The game has changed. The college game has changed. It's changed quicker than anybody expected. It is more like pro football right now than it is like college football from 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You gotta have not necessarily a general manager to pick players, but you better have a money man to decide where you allocate those dollars. To your point specifically, Ron, you said it like listen to Bill Belichick's remarks on Pat McAfee's show yesterday or day before yesterday, whatever.
Day before yesterday.
I mean, my man was and rightfully so passionate about, make no mistake about it, this will be a pipeline to the NFL. And then he goes down and list, and also, oh yeah, and a place where you can get an education just in case football doesn't work. Like it was an afterthought. Like it
student
was like,
athletes, me, yeah, student athletes.
It's like somebody behind the camera threw up a flashcard and said, "Hey, mention this education
it was Matt
you
Patricia.
Can get to." Yeah, right. It was Matt Patricia.
He's Matt Patricia's going to be there. They said, "I can't wait to see this coach."
I'm and he cool drove off on his four wheeler.
I'm cool if he's on the defensive side of the ball.
I can't wait to see this coach.
I'm cool on the defensive side of the football. Stay. Yeah, I mean, if that is. That is, I will be on the 1 year side with you if he hires Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Where's Billy O?
These guys, Billy's at Boston College head coach.
That's right.
So it's wild, man. Like the thought, like he, like what Nick Caserio said earlier, like Nick Caserio said in his Texans All Access, he says, you know, Bill could coach in any sport and win. And I want to be like, I mean, I get your point. Bill's a good coach. I get it. But, like, these guys in their thought of, like, anybody, if you're a good coach, you can do anything in the coaching world. Like, no, Matt Patricia can't call offensive plays. I don't care how good of a coach he is. He can't call offensive plays. Like, the pushing the envelope.
Well, Joe was with him, too.
Well, yeah, Joe Judge as well. Was he coaching quarterbacks and the special teams guy?
Together.
Like there's got to be some level of like, we got to temper that, right? I mean, he's got to get a real offensive guy in there. Like, I mean, where's Josh?
Yeah, I mean, you would think that's
McCown.
That's probably
no,
what he does.
No, I'm just kidding.
But again, like, because I'm thinking about it, and it's like, all right, hey, they're going to take it from $4 million to $20 million to compete with everybody. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if you can do that, wouldn't you go after somebody that is, all right, man, we got a guy that's going to be here. If I can try to compete like that, I'm going to go after somebody that, you know, hell, can I get Lane? Can I get, like, I'm going to go after somebody that.
Yeah, no, that's a different animal. Yeah, Lane would be different. But like,
you know what I mean? It's no longer to me going to be the thinking of, let me get somebody that's going to be here
on no level
for a graduation. And you're right, it's changed.
Level, Ron, like the coaches and the players, like on no level is it go get guys and developing them. Like I'm anxious to see. Now, I know they're still recruiting and giving youngsters scholars. You have to fill a team. But like I'm anxious to see like what this really does to high school football. Like the recruiting of like high school, it's not going to change a damn thing for the five stars and the four stars. But there's a lot of threes and twos and no stars that were really, really good players at the college level. I'm anxious to see what it does for those guys and kind of how the college do more guys start going to JUCO and start going to smaller Division II schools, balling out and then going and eating up one of them scholarships as a sophomore, junior, senior. It's going to be interesting to see, but the landscape has changed. They're not looking for a young guy that can be there 10 years. They're looking for somebody that can turn that thing around tomorrow.
The hiring process and what type of coaches teams are looking for now is completely shifting and changing.
Yep.
Like, they're going to be some, like, because Bill O'Brien went over there and had some, I mean, I guess they're probably happy at Boston College that they won six or seven ball games.
Shocker, he couldn't get along with his quarterback. That when I watched him early in the year, was playing well.
It's just
the quarterback's getting the bad rap, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Yeah,
because he quit the team.
Like it's like, hey, because you're thinking like, all right, who am I looking for? I'm looking for Dan Lanning's. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for those types. Now, I mean, it might be. Hey, let me get Chip Kelly for a couple of years. Let me get a guy who was a good head coach of the NFL, and I don't care if he's 73, 75, 68. I don't care. I'm just like, we're just so focusing on a 2-year window.
See it right now, man. I'm going to tell you, I'd take it at Arkansas right now. I'm just going to tell you, man. You sitting over at Kansas, you fat and happy over there. You got a coach that's doing more with less and keeping the quarterback around. And, man, we just had every promising pass catcher on the offense and our two best offensive linemen jump in the portal with Bobby Petrino.
And so you're saying, like a guy like Bobby Petrino, maybe have a shot now, old as he is, as wild as he is. But you're saying that's Arkansas.
I'm not going to ride a motorcycle again.
You'd be like 73-year-old
anything to get competitive with NIL.
That potentially is out in 2 years.
Yes.
3 years.
If you're not willing as a college program, if you're not willing to do whatever it takes to get your NIL to 20 million, if you're not willing to do that, you're not serious about winning. Like right now, if you just see this, the beautiful thing about this, forget about whether you like the hire or not. The beautiful thing about this is to show you that the Power Four schools, if you hire, maybe a risk, but if you hire the right guy, the money's there. I mean, getting to $20 million a year for any of these universities, it's not a problem. The problem is the people that have $20 million that can make it happen.
Only want to do it for certain people.
They ain't going to do it if they don't trust that you're going to go win games.
Yeah.
They don't want to do it. They've already given $1 million and you bought the wrong quarterback, right? You spin it across the offensive line and they can't play dead in a damn war movie.
Horror movie or war movie,
whichever. It's possible to get to that $15, $20 million mark for, and damn sure possible for my alma mater with Walmart and all them joints. I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to end up selling these college programs. I don't know how much that y'all been paying attention, but I can't wait for Walmart to buy 51% of Arkansas.
Come on, Bucky's Day and M.
Coming up, we will get to that, I promise. C.J. Stroud talked about it a bit, and this could be, maybe he was foreshadowing, could be the biggest concern for the Texans going against this game against the Dolphins.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we'll get to T Mills' best bets coming up in just a bit. Again, reminder: tomorrow is a little action, Thirsty Thursdays tomorrow. Buffalo Wild Wings and our good friends at Bud Light, same location we were at the last couple of weeks, I believe. Washington Ave, 3939 Washington Avenue. We will be there hanging out tomorrow. So come out with us 2 to 6. We never come empty-handed. Courtesy of our friends at Bud Light, always have some good stuff there, so stay tuned for that and come hang out with us tomorrow. Great service, great staff, and it'll be a good time. All right, C.J. Stroud, he spoke earlier. We played that for you in its entirety at around 3:40. If you missed it, you can go back on the Odyssey app or go back on the podcast page and listen to that in full. But he did speak about the pass rush of the Miami Dolphins. And I think we think of the pass rush of the Dolphins, or I mean of other teams like the Chiefs and the Ravens and things like that. But the Dolphins have some guys up front too as well that that can give you some problems. Here was CJ talking about some of the things that they do as a unit in terms of getting after the passer.
Yeah, they do a great job as rushing as one. You know, they do a lot of stunts and a lot of twisting and turning, which they get a lot of, I wouldn't say necessarily sacks, which they do get those too, but they more so get pressures and affect the quarterback. So, you know, I got to be in my game to make those minute movements and things like that. And our line got to do a good job of passing those guys off. But Calais knows what to look for, and he leaves those other guys. I think 92 has done a great job as well. You know, they've had some injuries up there, but they've been able to still have some really great play up there. So I think that just goes to the coaching and, you know, the way that they play hard.
Siler, who he's talking about, Calais Campbell there, Emmanuel Agbu. They've got some other guys. Bradley Chubb is out for the year right now, but they've got some guys. And I think the key thing that stuck out to me, fellas, and for you all who watch the Texans a lot, brother said they do a lot of stunts, a lot of twisting and turning. And Kenyon Green may potentially be back in this lineup. And Clint, what would you say have been maybe a bugaboo for this offensive line that teams have done to give them props?
The biggest bugaboo.
Bugaboo is right, Nick and Ron. Y'all got the same vocabulary.
That's so us, me and Nick.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about it, man. The game's up front, the ability to – the big bodies that can get push and, you know, and then they use the twist games, right? So you can't just sit back there and twist. Guys going, but the ability to get the Texans' offensive linemen on different planes, right, get good push versus a guard or get good push versus the opposite guard, and then all of a sudden now your twister has a downhill lane. The Texans have just not – they haven't handled it well physically. They haven't handled it well technically. They haven't handled it well schematically. And so, yeah, with a guy like Calais Campbell, who can get that push, who is just a physical monster, and then guys that can move around and schematically are asked to twist and turn, and that has been the issue for the Texans offensive line. And a team that CJ, the first time you hear him speak about him, says, yeah, this is what they're going to do up front. Clearly they do a lot of it. CJ's watching it on film, and that to me that is a big concern this week, and quite frankly it's a big concern for the rest of the year, and it doesn't matter necessarily how good the defensive line is as the Texans have been have struggled with it all year long.
And Clint, in particular, it's been when Kenyon Green has been in there.
Oh, yeah.
The Jets did it and just absolutely befuddled him. What was the game he got benched in? I believe the Colts game he got benched in, they did it a lot up front, just stunts, twists, mm-hmm. and they would do it with their linebackers as well, the Packers.
Yeah.
That three-game stretch, it was really bad.
The interesting thing is with that being the issue, and Miami, everybody they play, they're going to bring that to some degree. They're going to bring that to the table. And the Texans are going to have to find a way to figure it out, right? The good thing about – I say good thing. The hopeful thing is that schematically, the Texans need to be better. They have been very soft up front, not personally, but I'm talking like by design schematically. They've got to quick set these guys, not allow them to get downhill as much, not allow the games to impact the pocket so easily. You give a 250, 300-pounder, you give him an alley to run down, and I'm talking between the tackle alley, he's going to collapse the pocket every single time. And so I think they got to be a little bit more stern up front. And so where I'm going with that is I think schematically and technically, mechanically, they can change that, right? They can, and I'm talking, when I say they, I mean the O-line coach and the interior three.
They're all fixable.
They're not going to be physically better. Like, they're not going to get better from week 12 to week 18. But when it's all said and done, I think schematically, if you can get your guard and your two guards and your center to try, just try, because they haven't even tried. It hasn't even been a focal point. Get those guys to stay on the same plane, then it becomes a lot more difficult to pick guys off and run downhill. If you can accomplish that, I think the protection improves tenfold, Ron. So we'll see what they can do. But the scary part is that Miami clearly is going to bring and focus on doing the things that the Texans offensive line has struggled with.
They
the
do it naturally.
Yeah.
That's just what they do each week. And like he said, they don't generally get a lot of sacks. You know, that reminds me of the Packers. That was what it was like when the Texans went into the Packers game. They don't get a lot of sacks, but they were doing those stunts and twists, and it just gave them hell.
The Dolphins' defense has allowed a little over 200 yards passing per game. You know, they've been pretty dang good defensively. I'd say top third, top half of the league in scoring, and you know, I think overall just a pretty good defense. And so they're going to do some things up front. I'm looking, they're a top 10 defense overall from a yardage perspective. You can get into the advanced stats and the deep dive stuff. But, you know, I think they're a top 10 defense, and I think they're going to be good against the run. I think they're going to do some things. They're going to have the ability to overall, they're going to be good against the pass. They're also going to have the ability to cause some major problems in situational football, and the Texans are going to have to deal with it. I mean, they're not far behind the Texans' offense from a stat perspective. I'm not looking at any of the advanced pressure stuff, but which is what the Texans hang their hat on. But just from a yardage perspective, they're right there in the same neck of the woods with the Texans. So they're a good defense.
The one thing we can't say is different, though, from that part of the year where they struggle with that is it does seem like the communication with Jarrett Patterson at center has been better.
Better.
And so maybe that is a helpful thing.
Yeah,
look,
Ron. I think
that's where it was coming from.
Absolutely, and that's what could cause guys to not stay on the same plane. Not, I mean, you got to have somebody communicating that's coming. Hey, you know, if I've got a guy, you know, you got to be yelling that the twist is coming to whichever guard is standing there. Almost cussed. You know, you got to communicate those things pre-snap and in the moment, and they have been better with Jarrett Patterson. Look, the double teams inside. In the run game have been significantly better with Jarrett Patterson. I don't know if they changed scheme and changed what they were coaching or what, but those have been significantly better. And so we'll see if all of that translates to a better defense, right? You can be really good against a piss-poor run defense in Indy or whatever the hell they're doing in Jacksonville. You can be really good in those situations, but then when you get Calais Campbell and company and a top 10 defense come to town, all of a sudden it goes to hell in a handbasket. So we'll see if everything translates into a Sunday game where the opponent is significantly better. And I do think the Dolphins are significantly better across the board. You talk about, I know we're talking offensive line and we're talking those struggles. You talk about Jalen Ramsey. You know, they got a corner where they can shadow Nico Collins in more of a man situation and make his life a little bit more difficult. Because if we're honest about Nico Collins, like, I feel more comfortable about Nico Collins doing work in open spaces, getting the screen game, in the quick game, even in the mid-range to deep game versus zone coverages. What does that look like when you've got a guy, you know, like Jalen Ramsey, potentially shadowing you in critical situations? So, I don't – have we seen that this year with the Texans? Have we seen anybody? I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think
have we seen anybody with Nico in two years?
Though. I think he made. I think we may see it.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking. I mean, that'll be great to see, man. I mean, that'd be great to see Nico matched up on him.
All right, coming up after us, Texans All Access General Manager Nick Caserio will be there. Area 45 will join after they get done there, 8 to midnight, live and local. All right. T-Mill, not great mm-mm. last night, mm-mm, but mm-mm. Tonight is a new night. What's the best bet?
Yeah, we always say it, scared money don't make money, and we're still doing okay for the week after going 1-for-3 last night on those bets. 5 best bets for you tonight, all NBA Cup action and all within one game. I'm talking about your hometown Rockets taking on the Warriors tonight. Here are those 5 bets listed off real quick for you. Rockets first half money line. I like that. Rockets Warriors over 109 first half points. I think that could get up close to 115, 120. Alperen Şengün, the guy we all love, his voice and him and his play, over 20.5 points for him tonight. And then I got Jalen Green over 19.5 points. And then I have that little douchebag that chews on his mouthpiece all the time, Steph Curry, under 24.5 points for the Warriors tonight. Suck it, turd.
Yeah, clearly emotional for you. That's a personal bet. If he gives a damn 25,
I just hope he doesn't hit a poor old lady with it like he did that one time.
I know, and I just sure, that was fine, though. Taking the under on 24.5 on Steph Curry. I don't know about that one.
I hope you're just going to check the box score at the end, not watch the game.
But I don't like that. Watch. I don't like that. I felt like I think you should stay away from Steph because that's personal, and you're betting with your heart and your hopes. Jalen Green, though, I love. Jalen Green, 19.5. He seems like this is the type of game where he'll show up. These are the type of players that he gets it and teams he gets up for. Sengun, we'll see. Draymond's going to try to get in his head, and we'll see what happens there. But I really love the Jalen Green.
I like the Rocket Warrior over 109 in the first half. And I really like Jalen Green over 19.5.
Let's ride, boys.
You'll put me 100 on that? You want to put me 100 on Jalen Green over 19?
I can, yeah.
Let's do it. Let's ride, bro.
Let's ride. Let's get the
ball. Great job, Tyler. Great job. Shout out to Brandon Scott for joining the show. Cecil Shorts, the third, for joining the show. And kind of with you, CJ and D'Amico Ryans.
Go get me a Coors Light, boy.
That's right, baby. Christmas party coming up. I'm Ron Ugly.
Go, man.
And Houston, popcorn, we love you, baby. Jim Nance is lame. When the dead lies ahead of me,
seemed impossible. When you give Creighton and Bajani the studio for late night session, stuff like this happens.
And it's like that happens.
That's a record.
Don't worry, I got it.
202 in this beast. And
I had to dump y'all in the first segment yesterday, too. Get it in line, boys.
Who said something in the first segment yesterday?
Y'all didn't even realize it.
I said the S word?
Yeah.
Did I really? You've heard him a lot on Sports Radio 610. Cecil, what's good, baby?
What's good, Ryan? What's good, Clint? How y'all doing today, man?
Man, we're doing good. I mean, I don't. It doesn't sound like I'm as good as you are right now, though. Sounds like, I mean, hell, you might be on the beach somewhere. You might be just toes up somewhere now.
There's that laugh.
God, I missed you, Cecil.
There it is. Cecil.
You're gonna get hard. Ready?